He's the famous frontman pulling double duty for both the Angels and the Screaming Jets. But even one of the busiest musos in Australia still has to stop for lunch and a chat to Oz Music's biggest names. This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso from the Screaming Jets.
And this is our Lunch with Gleeso catch-up podcast, with conversations you may have missed earlier and the parts we just didn't have time to play today.
We are spoiled for choice in Australia with the great acts and bands and stuff that have come out of this country. And John Butler joins us now. How you going, John?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Very well. Now, your story to me is, I've always found it a great story because you're a self-made man, eh? You got in your car and drove around West Australia and the country to play to as many people as you could, selling records out of the back of your car, and off you went.
Yeah, I was inspired by another great Australian band called The Waifs. And yeah, they actually kind of took me on my first kind of national tour. I followed them around in my van, and then I started doing the same thing myself.
It must have been something that you really backed yourself, really believed in yourself and the songs and the music that you were creating.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I've never really thought of it that way. I was just so tunnel vision, passionate about what I was doing, and I was seeing results. I guess I was seeing crowds and audiences react and you know, wants to buy albums, and I thought, well, this is good. Let's see if other people like it, you know. And you know, it started off just wanting to be a bit of a gypsy. Just if I could do it busking on the sidewalk, you know, and then do it in a venue, then maybe I could just do it in a van around the country. And it really just started off like that. I didn't really have any big aspirations of doing what I do now, traveling the world and playing all over the joint. But that was, it started off just being quite addicted to music, really, and single-minded, and I guess that, you know, I guess that definitely fuels confidence in some way or another, blind confidence.
You obviously have a connection with the guitar. I just love your guitar playing, mate. Where did your love affair, I guess, with the guitar start?
It's kind of a strange little journey. I started playing when I was about 13, broke my arm once, started playing when I was about 15, broke my arm again.
Skateboarding?
Around 16, I started kind of playing, and I got given my grandfather's Dobro guitar. Basically, my grandfather died in 58, and the first kid to learn how to play the guitar would receive it, and none of my aunties and uncles did. But I started learning, and after about 6 months, my grandmother thought it was going to stick, and I got given this slide guitar, this classic slide guitar. My guitar teacher at the time decided he didn't want to teach me anymore, and he wanted to keep on teaching all my friends, which was a really strange and kind of weird moment for me. It was a really hurtful moment. And yeah, so I said, bugger the guitar and bugger that teacher. And I put the slide guitar under my bed, and I just didn't worry about it. I kept on skateboarding. And then my second guitar teacher, Ori Rossi from Mandra, he took me under his wing and really taught me how to teach myself. For me, you know, it was a hobby up until I was 21. It was just a way of writing songs. It was a way of kind of doing a journal entry about my life and about being an angsty teenager. And then when I was 21, I discovered open tuning and got massively obsessed with guitar. And then when I started busking. So I was 21 when I decided I wanted to do this for somewhat more than a hobby.
John, you've done quite a bit of touring overseas as well.
Yeah, I've been touring overseas for the last 15, 16 years. Yeah, and I'm about to head over actually. So after we do Caloundra Festival in Brizzy, or in Queensland, nowhere close to Brizzy, we will be heading to Japan. We do Osaka, Tokyo, and then we head to Europe and just do Switzerland, Germany, France, Portugal, Spain, UK.
Wow.
Other places, Belgium, all over the joint, lots of gigs in France, and then to the States. So I'll be coming back home about mid-December.
Fantastic, man. That sounds unreal. Take me with you. Obviously, your passion for music has driven you to help other musicians, up and comers. Is that correct?
Yeah. My wife and I both started a foundation called The Seed about 11 years ago now. And my wife mainly runs it with a couple other great minds. I mean, it started off, and it still has the same impetus, which is basically we believe there's so much great Australian music out there. And we believe the more music that is out there, the deeper and better our culture is. And so we're just trying to help as many artists as possible become self-sustained, because I think that's the hardest thing. I think if an artist can become self-sustained, that is the definition of success. And the more that they are self-sustained, the more music they'll make, the more they will tour, the more they will make release albums, the more that we'll be able to enjoy that as an audience, as the Australian public. And the deeper our culture will be. And so it's all a way of, I guess at the end of the day, of kind of nurturing culture via nurturing artists.
It's such a different climate now, isn't it? Very hard for young bands to kind of not come to public attention, obviously, because with, you know, the intranet and all that stuff, you can get public attention very quickly. But that's sustaining and building a career, isn't it?
You know, it's all kind of balanced itself out in a way. I mean, you can get people's attention more and more, more than ever. But at the same time, there's more traffic than ever. So you're still the same old thing. It used to be that you had to afford a big ad in a newspaper, and now, you know, you need a big ad on, you know, the hottest, you know, download, whatever. Yeah. You know, but it's always been tricky for musicians to make money and to survive and to do what they do. I, along with many other successful musicians, we know countless of geniuses out there that can't pay the rent. And so, you know, there's a lot of different reasons for that. But the more people that we can help get self-sustained, we're just going to be surrounded by just, you know, we have such a high talent rate in this country, so to speak, that if they could be self-sustained, we'd just be swimming in awesome Aussie music all the time.
You do big festivals overseas, or is it your own run tour?
Both. But this time it's mainly our own, because it's kind of cold season. So when we go over there for summer, then we play all the festivals. This is mainly our headline show for my new album, Home. So, yeah, playing the Beacon Theater in New York City and just lots of great venues. The Olympia in Paris, we do two nights there, and the Brixton Academy in London, and doing lots of great venues all around the world. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Big headline tour.
And do you take your skateboard with you? Or?
I do.
Good man.
My son has been joining me on tour a lot lately. And also, because I have a five-piece at the moment. So it's like the Butler Trio Plus. And one of the keyboardists, percussionists, he is a fantastic skater. Oh, my God. He's so, like, he's like super good. And so I'm just skating even more now. It's great.
Cool, man. Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, Jimmy the Human Hocking in the Screaming Jets is a mad skater as well.
Is he?
I guess he's done the old broken arm and can't play guitar thing a few times in the past as well.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, John, thanks very much for joining us today, mate. It's been a pleasure to catch up with you, and good luck with everything coming up and your brand new album. What's it called? Sorry, Home?
It's called Home, yeah.
This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso.